Our reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, 1 to 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord to us today. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Stefan Jones, and it's a privilege to be here. We do worship here as a family, and it's wonderful to have be here and be on home ground today. And part of my role at the moment is that I'm the outreach lead. They've changed my title a little bit there. I mean, same thing. The regional coordinator, the rep, maybe you won't say, for Wales and Southwest England for Barnabas Aid. And we support persecuted Christians all across the world. So first of all, I wanted to say thank you. Even today, I've received a donation from Christmas that was raised through the appeal towards Barnabas Aid. So thank you to every single person who donated and for the difference that it is making. It is really, really special. You know, it's one of those things where it's quite unique in that there are lots of good causes for Christians to be involved in. And some of them, if you're lucky, you could knock on the council offices. Maybe they'll give you a grant. Maybe they'll help out. But when it comes to supporting persecuted Christians across the world, no government will help out. It's up to us to do it. The family. The family of faith. In the same way, if someone's sick in hospital, the government won't go visit them. The family have to go. It is a privilege to be part of representing and pulling together brothers and sisters across the world and enabling that to happen. And so thank you so much that this support is directly going to that. It was wonderful after the last time I was here on the Tuesday service, I gave a presentation as well, and I spoke about the pigs and the chickens, if you were sponsoring pigs and chickens. And somebody came up to me afterwards and said that they didn't know what to get so-and-so for their birthday. They've always got, you know, they're hard to buy for, so they wanted to buy them a pig. For a persecuted Christian in their name. Now, unfortunately, we're not at the level of being able to name the pig with a picture to go on your fridge. But nevertheless, I'm really grateful that someone has received that, which has made a huge difference to them. So thank you so much for what you are doing. If you want to know more, very briefly, I do have the magazines, and I have the this is great, right? This is all the countries in the world we're involved in. What's going on? How you can pray. And that will be fantastic. And we'll try and maybe put some of the magazines out so you're aware of what's going on and so we can pray together. So thank you so much for that. Now, the message today. I've had this message on my mind to bring today from last year when I knew that I was bringing it on this date. And it was only when I'd written it all down, I realized, I went back to look, and a few weeks ago, David preached on this exact same text. And he even did "How Great Thou Art." So, I don't know, maybe the Lord has really wanted to speak from this text. I'm believing that I wasn't here, I was somewhere else when that happened. So hopefully this is fresh because God's word has got so much to say. And so we're going to see what the word has to say for us today. So let me start with a story for you. It was the 31st of March, 2013. And it was a warm autumn day. The leaves were golden and falling. And it was also Easter Sunday in Sydney, Australia. And I was there in the Sydney Entertainment Centre, where they had booked out for Hillsong Church's Easter Sunday service, a 12,000-seater arena. The guest preacher was someone you might have heard of, Reinhard Bonnke. And so Reinhard Bonnke is there, the great German evangelist, seeing, you know, millions saved in Africa. He's the guest speaker. Of course, the whole Hillsong team is there. It's televised, it's streamed, all those things happening. And I'm at the side of the stage. And I ask myself, how did I get into this situation? Because I now have to get on that stage and speak for a minute and a half on the resurrection of Jesus. You see, I was part of Hillsong College and we had a college part to play. And what they asked me to do was, here's a bit of script about the resurrection, but can you preach it for a minute and a half? And I felt I could not say no without being disobedient to the Lord. And so here I am on the side thinking, what am I doing? I don't want to do this. You know, the number one public fear in surveys is public speaking. And number two is death. So people are more afraid of public speaking than death. And if you do funerals, you're doing the two at the same time. So this is that. And now, this is the thing, right? I'm there at the side of thinking, I can't believe, how do I get into doing this? You can bet that the 2 months leading up to this, I had prayed like I'd never prayed before. I'd had worship on. I was reading the word. Because the reality was, I was totally out of my depth at this point. Now, my background, and there are a couple of people who could attest to it. One of them is up there, actually, my youth team leader, Andrea, at the time, knew that when I started speaking publicly and preaching, I was so racked with anxiety, I would feel like I would want to be sick, even speaking to just a couple of people. I remember, to my shame, praying that not many people would turn up to a service, because I was so worried. This went on for years, years and years and years. And here I am, totally out of my depth. And I realized, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. Now, I don't know if I did a good job or not, but I did go out, and I did do it. And the Lord did meet me there. And in that moment, totally out of my depth, something broke in me. And I was no longer afraid of public speaking after that. After doing that, a couple hundred people doesn't seem too bad. But that making of me in this sphere of public speaking and preaching required me to go totally out of my depth. And it was there the Lord was able to do what he needed to do and finally break that stronghold of fear that I had over my life. But that's what it required. Now for you today, all of us here have got something that the Lord wants us to do, and we find it really, really hard and really scary. And we want to live comfortable lives. We don't want to go out of our depth. We don't want to be challenged. We want to live comfortable, safe lives. But my message today, if you want a title for it, is called Into the Deep. Because the making of who you are as a person, the place where the Lord will really meet you and change you and make you into who you need to be, will be when you are out of your depth with Jesus thinking, why am I here? And it is there the Lord can do his work. And this story has got lots going on. But this is the making of Simon Peter. And where he is made is in the depths, out into the deep. So let's jump into this text. It's very early on in the ministry. And what's going on here to begin with? We hear of a guy, so this is Luke writing. Luke is a historian. He's the only non-Jewish author of the Bible. And he's got the biggest word count on the New Testament as well, right? So he's really, and here Luke is really, he wants to be spot on. Technically, the Sea of Galilee isn't a sea. It's a freshwater lake. So he doesn't say that. He says the Lake of Gennesaret. He wants to be technically correct, but it's the Sea of Galilee, alright? So this is where we are, and we see that there are two boats by the lake. The fishermen have gone out, and they're washing their nets. And then getting into the boat, Jesus gets into Simon's boat and says, "Can I have your boat?" And there's three questions I want to ask today. The first question from the Lord is this. The Lord asks each and every one of us, "Can I have your boat?" Metaphorically, so to speak. Can I have your boat? You see, what's happened here is that they have been fishing all night. In this time period, the nets weren't sophisticated enough that the fish could see the nets in the day. So you could only really catch the fish at night, because they would see them otherwise. And so they had to fish by night. So they have been doing night shifts. The other thing to notice about Simon here is that he's doing okay. He's basically a small business owner. He's got his own boat. He's able to employ people, probably, to jump on when he needs to. So he's a little small business owner. He's got his boat. He's been out all night. But running a small business means that there's no one else bringing your pay in. And so, if he doesn't catch the fish, there's no pay. So up they go. They've done a night shift, and they've caught nothing. Absolutely gutted. He's been paid nothing for his night shift. And so in he comes, and he's washing his nets. That detail is telling us this. It's the equivalent of you've come in after a long shift and you've taken your uniform off. You've washed your clothes, you've done your routine, you've unpacked, you're ready now to chill out. He's had to lick his wounds, he's washed the nets, all good. And Jesus comes along, very awkwardly, and says to him, Can I have your boat? Can I have your boat? At this point he could have said, well, no. You can't have my boat. It's my boat. I need that boat. I'm struggling right now. This is my boat. But to be fair to Simon, he says, okay, you can have my boat. He's tired. Never mind. So up the boat goes. And what they think would have happened is that Jesus would have put the boat sideways, sat on the boat, and for acoustic reasons then, be able to speak to the people around on the shore. So Jesus is using his boat. The first question really here is this. What's that for you? Because each and every one of us here have been given something from the Lord. Maybe it is a small business. But maybe it's a gifting. Maybe it's a talent. Maybe it's a resource. Maybe it's... I don't know what it is. But the Lord has given each and every one of us something. That is a blessing, that is a talent, that can be used for good, if we will let him. See, I think we often, we want to box it, right? We want to put our faith life in this drawer, and our work life in this drawer, and our family life in this drawer, and this in this drawer, but the Lord Jesus doesn't respect the drawer system. He says, no, I'm Lord of it all. If I'm not Lord of all, I'm not Lord at all. I'm Lord of it all. I'm Lord of your work life, and your family life, and your friendships. I'm Lord of it all. And sometimes it's really awkward, but the Lord will say, can I have your boat? Can I have your boat? Will you be willing to be uncomfortable? It can even be a negative thing. Something you're struggling with. But the Lord might say, can I have that? Can I use it to help other people? I remember I came back from a trip to New York many years ago now, and I picked up some parasites eating in a dodgy place, and long story short, I was very ill for 2 years. I was so ill with fatigue, I couldn't walk, I couldn't read, I couldn't drive. I didn't know what was wrong with me. Eventually, they got to the bottom of it and they said, you know, you're on the mend now, but it's going to take you 2 years to get better. Month by month, you're going to gain a percentage point. It was one of, you know, Miles was pregnant with Josiah. It was awful, awful time of life. And I remember 9 or 10 months in, I decided I was going to give it a go in January and try and walk up to the top of Drustan Castle by myself. I hadn't been able to do it, and in my mind I wasn't sure I could do it. And I wanted to do it, and Josiah was just a few months old. Mal stayed in the car with him, and I went up to the top. And when I got to the top, I actually burst out crying with the emotion that I was able to do it again, that I'd regained that ability that I thought I'd never have. And I came back and I shared it with Miles, and by nature, I'm actually more of a private person. And what she said to me was, well, you need to share that, don't you? Encourage someone else. Maybe someone else, you should do a Facebook post about it. Maybe someone else is struggling. Do you know, I didn't want to do it. I felt precious about it. This is my own thing. And of course, I might have put up a bit of an argument, but in the end, I did do the Facebook post. And guess what happened? Loads and loads of people commenting and people saying then, that, you know, feeling encouraged and conversations and all of that. I wanted to keep it to myself, but actually, it was meant to be used to help other people. You all have a story. We all have a testimony. We all have a gifting. And the Lord Jesus says, will you use it for my glory, even when it's uncomfortable? Can I have your boat? Now, it gets more than that. Because the next thing he asks him is this. Can I have your faith? And this is where the story really gets going and gets a bit juicy. Because then Jesus says to Simon, great, we've done the talk. Notice Luke doesn't really tell us what Jesus said. That's not really the point of this narrative. We don't really hear about it. He just turns to Simon after he's done preaching and says, great, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to go, take the boat, get your nets, and we're going to go out into the deep. At this point, Simon would look at Jesus and think, what are you on about? What are you on about? Notice what he says to him at this point. When Jesus asked him to do this, he doesn't say, Lord. He says, Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing. In other words, he's saying, you are a carpenter. I know fish. If we go out in the middle of the day, we will catch nothing. And everyone will think we are lunatics or amateurs who know nothing. Worse than that, you don't catch the fish in the middle of the lake. You've got to go on the sides. So it's the worst location, the worst time of day. People are going to be thinking we've lost our minds. But to be fair to Simon, he does say, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. At your word, I'll do it. Even though I've made my protest clear, at your word, I'll do it. So, okay, come on. Let's go here. Let's get out there. And so, they go. The boys come as well. He must have been muttering himself all the way. Well, I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, I'm making a point. Maybe he was expecting Jesus was going to look silly. Out they go to the middle of the lake in the middle of the day when you'll never catch any fish. They've had to pull all the nets back out again. They've had to put their gear back on. And they throw the nets in. And of course, what happens? The nets are full of fish. But even that's not really the point of the story. Notice what happens to Simon at this point. He doesn't go, hooray, lots of fish, this is going to make me lots of money. He doesn't say, oh, you were right, this is a good new technique. He doesn't say those things. What does he do? He falls on his knees before Jesus and says, not master this time, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What is that reaction? This is the reaction when people encounter the divine in the Old Testament. It's like Isaiah in the vision. In this moment, Peter's eyes are opened in the deep places in obedience that the person in the boat next to me is not just this carpenter with good teaching. This is the Lord of the lake. He knows, like no one else would know, that what has just happened is supernatural. It should not be possible. He knows that he is in the boat with the Lord of the lake and the Lord of the world. And his instinctive reaction is to cover himself in his shame and say, I'm a sinful man, I don't deserve to be around who you are. He can't believe it. And in this moment, we get the transition from Simon to Peter. Up until this point, Luke has only called him Simon. That's his actual name. Peter's not his surname. Peter is a nickname that the Lord has given him. It means rocky. This is the point where Luke transitions. And he read after Simon, Simon, Simon. This happens. And then we read when Simon Peter
sees this, he falls at his feet and says, "Oh Lord, I'm in your presence. I'm with the Lord of the lake." And the Lord picks him up and says, "You, do not be afraid, first of all. You are going to be a fisher of men." It is in the deep places that we are made into the people we are called to be by the Lord. Simon Peter would never become who he was if he'd said no to the Lord. If he hadn't trusted and obeyed. If he'd stayed in the comfortable, stayed in the shallows. In the same way for each and every one of us, in every season, we want to sit and be comfortable, but the Lord is saying, into the deep again. Trust me again. At my word, trust me. It might not make sense to you, but trust me. Go. And it is in those places, as we follow him far beyond where we could ever wander normally by ourselves, that we find who he is and then who we are. The making of you as a man and woman of God will be in the depths with the Lord Jesus in obedience. And there we see an incredible thing happen. The Lord asks each and every one of us, "Can I have your faith? Can I have your faith?" And lastly and finally, he says, "Can I have your future? Can I have your future?" You see, it's at this point when they're all astonished. There's other boats coming in now. He's called the other boys. So imagine the scene. There's chaos. The nets are breaking. The boats are breaking. All this fish is going around. All this storm. But Peter and Jesus are just locked in, eye to eye. And here Jesus gives him that new commission. Yes, you're still going to be a fisherman. But now you're going to fish for men. You're going to fish for men now. And we see the change in the future by one small detail. Because they get to the end. And this is what we read. They bring their boats to land. They left everything and followed him. Why would Simon do this? Look at all this fish. Look at this catch. Why wouldn't you sell all this fish? Fund the business. Buy more boats. Invest. Why does he just leave it? All this fish, they just leave it. Because why cling on to a past miracle when you can walk with the miracle maker? Why cling on to the past glory, the past thing, the past, when you can walk presently with the miracle maker, with the Lord of the lake, the Lord of the world? At this point, Simon's whole vision of his future changes. He leaves it all behind. And he follows Jesus. And we know what the consequences of that will be for global history, as well as for Simon himself. My word to you today is this, very simply. I don't know what it is, but what is that for you this year? What is that? What is the Lord asking you to obey him in, and you're finding it really hard? What is it? And I want to encourage you, trust and obey. Follow him into the depths. At his word. At his word. Know his word and obey his word. At his word. Follow him. And you will find you will become the person you were called to be. And you will know him to a greater level than you ever would before. Follow the Lord Jesus. Imagine if we all did this, all Christians. We kept following him further and further. We would see the world changed as a result. And maybe for some of you, you've done this once before, but life has happened, you've got hurt, things have gone wrong. You've washed your nets, so to speak. And the Lord is saying today, maybe, stop washing your nets. Stop washing your nets. Come on. Put the uniform back on. Get the boat back. Put the nets back. Go again. Go again. Follow me again. I know it didn't work before and there was no fish before, but go with me. Go with me. And there is a greater catch than you can ever imagine. Now this is hard and I think, Lord, this isn't fair. This is difficult. But the Lord isn't asking us to do something that he hasn't done himself. Because in stepping into creation, in becoming human, the Lord went out into the depths. He made himself vulnerable, a baby. He lived in poverty. He got ill and put himself in danger. And more than that, the Lord of heaven, the Lord of the lake, the Lord of the world, takes himself to the cross, plunges himself into the ultimate storm of our sin and the wrath of God. Why? So we could become children of God. The salvation of the world was won out into the depths where we were pulled up and released out. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this year holds for each and every one of us, but I know I don't want to experience it sat comfortable in the shallows, missing out. I want to go where the Lord goes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. At his word, trust, obey, and we will see him, and we will see great things come from that decision. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for that encouragement. Lord, there is no retirement in the kingdom of God until we meet you face to face. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to follow you through everything. Lord, I thank you that in your grace, you choose to partner with us. Lord, we pray, we offer our boats, Lord. We offer our faith. We offer our futures. We will follow you. Lead on, Lord Jesus, and give us the courage to trust and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.